everyone. My name is Pastor Maya Rodriguez. I want to welcome you to my weekly podcast. It is a true privilege to be able to share the good news of God's Word with you. Enjoy. Happy Sunday! Woo! Quick report. So for our Heart for the House offering, we are actually at $82,500 in one Sunday and one Wednesday. You got it. Church, give yourselves a round of applause. Come on. $82,500. Our goal is $95,000. We are wanting to do the preschool playground. We are wanting to do C3 Youth, you know, all of their, GC, I'm so sorry. GC Youth, I'm so astonished by the amount of money, right? GC Youth, I'm so sorry, and all of that, their screen, their soundboard, like everything that they need over there. We have our check-in system for the kids that we purchased with the iPads and the printers and getting all of that ready. So there's so much already taking place. Your money is already at work. It's being deposited into the house of God. We are building the house of God. Come on, church. Together, we are building the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we are going to dive right in to the Word of God. And Luke 19, 29 to 36, it's going to be on the screens for you. If you are a note taker, go ahead and take out your notebook. There's going to be so much juicy information to write down. But if you are not a note taker, become a note taker. Buy yourself a notebook and let's get to taking notes, okay? Luke 19, 29 to 36 says the following. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent, referring to Jesus, sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you enter it. You will find a colt tied there with no one who has ever, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." Again, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Say it with me. The Lord needs it. Come on. The Lord needs this donkey, okay? Yes. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying this donkey?" They replied, what did they reply? The Lord. Thank you for the three people that remembered. What did they reply? The Lord. Come on, for a third time, church, what did they reply? The Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. The title of today's message is, "I'm just the donkey." Can you say it with me? I'm just the donkey. Calling someone a donkey, I don't think you thought that this was going to happen on a Sunday morning at church, right? And probably is not meant for many when they hear it, "You are a donkey." It is not a compliment. Okay, usually it is not a compliment. Why? Because most of us, like a story in the Bible that Saul's dad Kish, his donkey was a stubborn donkey, right? And it kept on escaping. And this donkey is like many donkeys that we know. It kept on getting lost. Say with me, the lost donkey. Yes, the stubborn lost donkey. Any, you know, correlation with anybody here? Just a coincidence. But the donkey is actually used in the Bible for something very positive. In the Bible, there was this law, the law of Moses, and any time that there was a firstborn in anyone's farm, in anyone's home, they would have to sacrifice this animal, be it a cattle or a sheep, was offered to God. But the law stated that if your first animal, the first animal born for that year, your first fruit, was a donkey, the only way to redeem this donkey, the lost donkey, the stubborn donkey, right? This donkey was by sacrificing a lamb. The owner could sacrifice a lamb and redeem this donkey. Say with me, redemption. The donkey is actually a symbol for redemption. Then we have the story of Balaam and the talking donkey. Did you know that before, you know, what is it called? DreamWorks came out with their talking donkey. The Bible had a talking donkey. I think there's some plagiarism there. I think we could think there's some plagiarism. They also used the whale. Hello, okay? So this donkey wouldn't continue on the road. And the prophet kept on hitting the donkey because it wouldn't continue. And it hit him once, and the donkey wouldn't continue. And it hit him again, and the donkey wouldn't continue. And it hit him a third time. The donkey wouldn't continue until the donkey's like, what are you doing? Have I ever done this before? Obviously, it's a sign from God. There is an angel. The angel of the Lord is before you. And he's like, what? He's like, literally, stop hitting me. Okay? So in this story, we find that there's also this talking donkey. This donkey, right? Can you imagine this donkey? This talking donkey was a donkey that was wise. Say with me, the wise donkey. But then we have a third donkey and the most famous of them all. And that is this Jesus, the donkey Jesus rode in on Palm Sunday. This lowly beast meant to carry burdens. This lowly beast that had not been trained and was meant to carry burdens, but yet it received honor because it was a serving donkey. Say with me, a serving donkey. Yes, an instrument for God. Now imagine this donkey. Not the other donkey, right? Not the first donkey, not the Kish donkey, the stubborn lost donkey, not the second donkey, the talking donkey, but this donkey. Imagine this donkey overhearing the conversation with the owner and with these disciples. Imagine this donkey overhearing the fact that the Lord needs me. Right? He heard them say, the Lord needs this donkey. I need to untie this donkey and take this donkey because Jesus has use for it. I imagine that that moment forever changed the life of that donkey. Can you admit to the same? Can you agree to that? To this day, we talk about that donkey. And can you imagine what was going through his mind? He heard Jesus needed him. He had something Jesus needed. He was taken, right, from the life he knew. He was just born. It says he was a young colt. Like, it was, he was untrained. He had never been ridden. He didn't know how to do this. He was tied. Yet these disciples came and said, I'm going to untie. Come on. I'm going to untie this donkey. Because Jesus has use for him. So they put their cloaks on him and they brought him to Jesus. You could call him a donkey with a destiny, right? We all agree his life would never again be the same. This was literally a point of no return. But the more I read and I understood that this story, I can agree, you know, I was going to use the title, Point of No Return, but then my husband came and he's like, no, we're actually going to title the message, I'm Just the Donkey. And the more I studied the story, I didn't see it as something negative. I saw the positive side of it. And I said, Lord, you're speaking to your church today because I can admit that I am just the donkey. Can someone say that? I am just the donkey. Yes, I'm just the donkey. Can we give God praise if you're in agreement with this? Come on. So I can imagine you have a few points of no return in your life. Moments of extreme importance, like a complete before and after, a complete 180, something that brought this transformation to your life, something you didn't know before. For example, for those that have enlisted, the day that you signed those enlistment papers, I've heard a lot of people in the military say that was a point of no return, right? Maybe when you said yes at the altar, can we agree that that was a point of no return, right? side, our lives completely changed, turned upside down. For us girls, for example, it's something. There is something about, should I cut bangs? Okay, for you guys don't understand this. But for girls, it's like, can I rock the bangs, right? But the moment you do the first chop, that's it. You're done. There is a point of no return. You are living with the consequences of your decision for a long time. Can I get an amen from all the girls? But on a more serious note, because the guys are like, okay, I'm your pastor, but I'm a woman, okay? So on a more serious note, how about when the day that you say, that's it, I'm getting a divorce? That is a point of no return. How about the death of a child, of a loved one? That is a point of no return. These are all really extreme circumstances. For me, for example, it was becoming pregnant. I think my body can amen and hallelujah that all day long. Like literally your body has went through a point of no return. But even more significant was becoming a mother. Because the change that happens in your life is not just your sleep schedule. Right? It's not just your body and the lack of sleep. It's also the way you lived your life. Changed completely. How about it changed the way you see things, what you perceive as danger, what you value as important, how you love? Everything changes when you become a parent. You change from the inside out. That is a point of no return. But for Jesus, this day, a day like today, a Palm Sunday, was his point of no return. It was a day that completely changed. I mean, he had been Jesus for 33 years. For the last three, he had been the teacher. He had been the healer. He had been the preacher. He had made disciples. He had been the one that showed compassion. But today, a Palm Sunday marked a point of no return, this first day of Holy Week. See, Jesus knew that his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem was a point of no return. He knew that he could no longer stop what he had set into motion. Because he had been doing all of these things. He couldn't take back any longer. He couldn't hold the people from giving testimony any longer. See, he had been teaching, but people were now talking about his healings, his miracles, his signs, the wonders. But the one big thing that caused the more uproar was the fact that he brought Lazarus back to death on that fourth day. Actually, that sign slash miracle, because it was not just a miracle, it was actually a sign. He went, and after 4 days of Lazarus being on that tomb, he said to Lazarus, it says Luke, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the word of God says, and the dead man came out. He went from death to life in an instant. From death to life. That was actually the last sign slash miracle Jesus performed in public. What the world saw as dead, what they considered lost, right? What his sister Mary said, wait, Jesus, if we remove the stone, he's going to be stinky in there. Why are you telling your disciples to do this? It is a lost cause. It's gone too far. He's way too lost. But Jesus, where people saw death, Jesus came in and said, life. Come on, church, life. Come on, church, life. If you've seen death in your marriage, death in your family, death in your finances, Jesus says life. He declares life in Jesus' name. And because of this, people were convinced. What more could he do? He had healed. He had taught. He had multiplied bread and fish. He had fed people. He had talked to people. He was compassionate. He was known. What more could he do? Oh my gosh, this was it. People were convinced, hands down convinced, that he was the real deal, that he was the promised king. Now, not everybody believes, because it actually says, I love the book of John to read this story, because it's actually like you're a fly on the wall. John lets you know on the backstory, like all the other things, that the other gospels don't talk about, it's like you get to be in other rooms and figure out what's going on. So John actually lets us in the fact that these people that saw Lazarus, some of them that didn't believe or that saw it but were like, oh no, he must be from Satan, ran to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were like, oh my gosh, we can't deny that this is true. We can no longer deny that he is healing. We can know, I mean, this, the fact that Lazarus is back alive, like this is it. Like we can no longer use the argument against Jesus that he's manipulating things or that he's not the one, but now we have to kill him. See, that's the point. They've always wanted to kill him. That was when they decided to kill him. That was when they said, we're going to kill him. Because in spite of the evidence before them, they couldn't recognize Jesus. Despite his teachings, despite his love, despite his compassion, despite every time that someone needed him, he was there as the answer. Despite the way that he spoke and the impact that he had. Despite the fact that they knew they could no longer have this argument against Jesus. Against Jesus, against the name of Jesus. They said, we're going to kill him. We got to kill him. We cannot accept him. We actually find out from the book of John that the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, what does it say, this sign? That's why I said Lazarus was a miracle, but was a sign, went out to meet him. These were the people that were in the crowd on Palm Sunday. The people that had spread the word, that had seen Lazarus, right, come back to life. These were the people that were with the palm leaves saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. All this. But in that crowd was also the Pharisees. That because of Lazarus decided, we're going to kill Jesus. They too were in the crowd. This is the backdrop for everything that is going on in the people that were around Jesus when Jesus rode in on the donkey. Say with me, the donkey. We're going to be back to the donkey. Now remember, this wasn't just any donkey, but the donkey that had been set apart and chosen for a specific task more than 500 years before. In Zechariah, it actually said 500 years before, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we learn then from Luke 19 to 36 that as he rode in, people spread their cloaks and they came to the Mount of Olives, right to the road that goes down to the Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of his disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. And this is what they said. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees, right? Sorry. So there's this funny story. Give me a second just so I could do the funny story and then we'll play the piano. Because it's kind of weird to play the piano with a funny story, right, you guys? But as soon as the funny story, we're going to play the piano, we're going to wrap it, okay? We're going to give it a wrap. So this is it. So there's this funny story. It's not the truth. But if, you know, you identify with the story, okay, put on the coat. It says this. People were lining the streets to see him. Hundreds of thousands of them. They layer their cloaks down on the road and wave palm branches, shouting, Hosanna in the highest. And then others called back, Hosanna to the King. Seeing all this worship, the donkey who carries Jesus felt extremely proud and started to bray, right? And he says, finally, you all recognize my true glory. I always knew the people of Jerusalem were intelligent people, right? That donkey might have started to think he was the star of the show. So he was either smart or dumb, but he's still a donkey. Say, I'm just a donkey. Neighbor, if you're smart or dumb, you're still a donkey, right? unfortunately. Come on, come on. Can you agree with that? Unfortunately, this is a common thought, church. People who are carrying Jesus, serving Jesus, blessed by God, you're made in the image of God, given talents by God, giving gifts by God, giving the breath of God, thinking the applause is for you. Thinking the coats were placed on you for you, not for Jesus. See, the disciples placed their cloaks on the donkey, but it was for Jesus. It wasn't to cover the donkey. It was for Jesus. They untied the donkey for Jesus. You have been set free for Jesus. You have been given gifts and covered by God for Jesus. We have been given life for Jesus. We have been called back to life for God's glory. Feelings, right? We are so led by feelings that are not from God. We're led by what I feel. I want to be recognized. Where's my praise? Come on. They're laying these palms. They're putting these clothes. That's for me. No. I'm just the donkey. See, I'm just carrying God's glory here. I'm just an instrument for God's glory. I'm sorry. That cloaks and palms were not laid for me. There is no greater foolishness than seeking self-praise when Jesus himself said, "And I do not seek my own glory." Can you understand that Jesus himself went to the cross, not for his glory, but for his Father's? See, Jesus didn't come preaching the Jesus gospel. He came preaching the God gospel. He said, "I am just here as evidence to point you to the Father. I'm giving my life for you to bring you closer to my Father. See, I am here to do my Father's will and to give my Father the glory." So if Jesus lived and did everything for God's glory, what are you thinking? The cloaks are for you? The palm branches are for you? I want to bring up, come here, can we bring up the donkey? Come on, come on. Look at the donkey now. Okay, let's be really quiet because the donkey's scared. We can just walk him to the front. We can just walk him towards the front. Oh, he doesn't want to come. This is just my perfect example, though. Oh. What does this show us? The stubbornness? It's okay. We're good. We're good. We're good. We'll leave him here. She just said help. You are actually helping me with my preaching. As cute as he is, donkeys are stubborn, right?
Yes.
We had this plan. We put these flowers on him. We wanted him to walk, but you're a stubborn little guy. He's a cute donkey, but he's a stubborn donkey. See, I'm just a donkey. At the end, the glory is not for me, it's for God. Church, the glory, though God puts flowers around us, he adorns us. Thank you. He's stealing my thunder, right? Okay, right? I already knew he wasn't going to want to come up stage. Okay, we can take the donkey out. Thank you, because he's literally stealing. For all you at home, I'm not sure if you're able to see that, but there was this, let's applaud, but quietly, like. Yeah, okay. We don't want to scare him, right? In that story of the funny donkey, he had to learn the same thing we have to learn. The glory is not mine. The glory is not yours. Church, the glory is not yours. I know we love to hear about how valuable you are, and you are. I don't want to take away from that, but you're not more valuable than the one who made you. You are just the instrument. I am just the instrument. Can someone say amen to that? Augustine actually said Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he is valued above all. He needs to be valued above all. See, we're all worshiping something. Worship is our response to what we value the most in life. But whatever I worship, because I'm going to worship whatever I value. And whatever I worship becomes my obsession. And whatever I'm obsessed about, I begin to imitate. And whatever I imitate, I become. So my question for you today is, what do you value? Because what you value, you will worship. And what you worship, you'll become obsessed about. And what you obsess about, you will imitate. And what you imitate, at the end, you will become. What do you value? The Word of God says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. May everything we do, if you have a gift, if you have a talent, if you were given life, if you were placed in a family, if you were given wisdom or intelligence or the means, do not receive the worship for yourself, but give God the glory. On this Palm Sunday, it is Hosanna, Hosanna. Glory to the King in the highest. We worship you. We value you in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, stand to your feet, church, and let's worship our Father.
Come on, shout it out.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.